afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you're here with me today, either on talkradio.nyc or on our Facebook live stream. You can always catch us 12 noon Eastern time to 1 p.m. on facebook.com/talkradioNYC. Ta, my brother, I see you watching there. Always wonderful to have you tuning in. And I'm going to dedicate this show to you and your wonderful significant other, Cole, because you guys are leaving real soon on your year-long journey. I look forward to watching you guys as you traverse through the world over the next year. It'll be interesting to see. So, welcome, everybody. Let's get started. We have a wonderful guest in returning guest in studio today. And let's get started as usual with our quotes of the day from the universe and from Abraham. Let's see what the universe and Abraham have in store for us today. First, from the universe. For the earnest student, taking responsibility means never forgetting to have fun. Seriously, the universe. We love our quotes from Mike Dooley in the universe. And very apropos for today's guest, talking about, you know, yes, taking responsibility is important, but let's not forget to have fun in the process. And this is actually something that came up to me just this past Friday night at a ceremony where I was out in Brooklyn with a group of people, with a group I hadn't done work with before. And is you traditionally, you know, sort of quiet, introspective, you know, self-reflective kind of work. But like during the middle of the ceremony, people started getting a little rowdy and shouting out and laughing and having fun. And I was just kind of laughing to myself. It was very entertaining for me. And I was just thinking to myself, oh, I'm not going to really do any deep work tonight like I thought I was. I'm just going to have fun. And then I realized having fun can be deep work too. And oftentimes we think that, like, to do the deep inner work, we have to be serious and, you know, focused, and we have to dig up all these painful memories and things like that. But sometimes just cutting loose, sometimes just, you know, being in the moment and really just allowing ourselves to be free like children once again, allowing ourselves to play, is sometimes the most important thing we can do. You know, I've heard it said that researchers look and, like, that's how our brain creates new connections, by playing. And that's why it's so important for children to play. Children learn while playing. And I think that's something we tend to forget when, as we become adults, that, like, we forget that playing, like having fun, is learning. So, yes, if we're going to be an earnest student, you know, having fun is so important. Does this mean that we don't work hard? Does this mean that we don't show up and be as present as we can? No, of course not. Absolutely, we show up and be present. But having fun in the process not only makes the process that much more enjoyable, but we actually get it in our nervous system. We actually feel it in our body so much more. So this is a wonderful quote today, and something that I think it's a reminder I always need, and I think it's a reminder for us all that, you know, to always have fun while we're learning, because, you know, having fun can actually be very deep, serious work. So a wonderful quote from the universe. Let's see what Abraham has in store for us today. Trust that they're making their lives work in the way that they're making their lives work, and just teach through the power of your example. Abraham. Ah. Now, you see, Abraham here, I think Abraham here is also talking about kids and adults too, But it's about really trusting that people are doing whatever they need to do, whether they're 3, 30, or 90 years old, that we're all doing the best that we can and whatever we really need to do to get by in life, to survive, to thrive, you know, what we think that we need the most. And that really, we can't change anybody else. We all have this tendency of like thinking, oh, if I can only help this person change, only if I can make them change, they could be better. They could be having so much more. They could be doing this. They could be doing that. And it's like, you can't force anybody to change. We can inspire others. And by living as an example of how to be different, of how to show up better in our lives, then we can help people to change. But that's not forcing people to change. That's not making somebody change. It's we have to just stand in our authenticity. We have to stand up and just show up better for ourselves in our own life and trust that that example will inspire others and help others and that people will see that. And then they will take that and use that and model that behavior. Because ultimately, the only change we can make is in ourselves. We cannot make a change in anybody else. It's always up to that individual to make their own change. And it's always up to us to make our own change. So let's trust in life, let's trust in the universe, trust in whatever word you want to use, that things are actually going along as best as they can, given all the circumstances around us. And yes, I know there are some horrible things that have happened or going on in the world. There are a lot of people who are going through very painful moments and very difficult times between natural disasters and man-made disasters. Look, it has always been that way. But believe it or not, even with all this mishigas, even with all this craziness that we're experiencing, things are still better today than they have ever been before in our history, in our recorded history. You know, we forget that, like, people are living longer than they ever have before. There are actually less people involved in conflicts around the world than there has ever been before. That, you know, things are, you know, the standard of living is higher than it's ever been before. Less people are in poverty than have ever been before. Does this mean that there are not people in poverty? No, not at all. We still got a ways to go. It's just, you know, when we look at our yardstick and how we measure things, we have a tendency to use a very short stick because we're only comparing today to yesterday. But if we compare today to 500 years ago, you know, how much cleaner things are, how many more children are surviving childbirth, how many more women are surviving childbirth, you know, how many more people are educated than any before, how much more access there is to information. I mean, especially now with the internet, I mean, God, if you just have a cell phone, you have literally a whole world of information at your fingertips. So things actually are better than they've been before. It's just we're much more aware of all of the craziness in the world than we've ever been before. Because before we used to be confined to like our little village and occasionally we'd get reports when somebody would ride in from town and tell us about what happened. But we didn't really know what was going on the other side of the world. Now we know in seconds what's going on in the other side of the world. So it's just we have so much more access. So it feels like things are just horrible compared to the way before. They actually are not. If you look at the real numbers, look at what's really going on, things are amazing compared to before. Does not mean that there aren't difficult things to deal with. Does not mean that there's still not people suffering. Does not mean that there's still not a lot we can do to improve things. It's just about perspective, and it's about taking a different perspective, understanding. Again, if we can trust that things are really going the best that they can, then the only work we need to do, not the only work, but the most important work we need to do is to be the best example we can be for those people in our lives. And if we can be a better example for just those handful of people, the couple of dozen people, whoever we happen to touch, how small or how large our reach is, if we can touch their lives a little bit, and then they start to live their lives a little better, and then they start touching other people, that's the way we change the world. That's the way things unfold. That's the way we grow and things become even more amazing. Wow. Two wonderful quotes. Oh, big shout out to Lee, Luke, Madhavi. Oh, thank you all for tuning in on the Facebook live stream. And again, for anyone listening through talkradio.nyc, if you want to see the video, just go to facebook.com/talkradio.nyc. Wonderful to see you all. Thank you, Ta. I know, brother. I know you resonate with all this stuff. So, two wonderful quotes. I hope you enjoy them. And we'll have two new quotes for you next week. And now, as I flip around the camera, oops, and show you our guest for the day in studio. Yes, you do not have to look at me all hour long. Isn't that wonderful? It is my pleasure to welcome back to the show Ellen Gottlieb, who is the founder of Enlightened Parenting. Ellen began to study mindful parenting more than 12 years ago when she wanted to shift her own parenting practices. She realized that her two daughters, back then they were 8 and 10, were unhappy and anxious, and she knew that there had to be a better way. Ellen, being an attorney by trade and practiced law as a litigator and a mediator for more than 30 years, used this training to enhance her communication and negotiating skills. Mindful parenting is her passion and has resulted in the creation of her own thriving coaching practice, helping parents all over the New York area, right, Ellen?
And the country.
And around the country. And she was personally trained for more than a decade by Dr. Shefali
Sabari,
thank you, who is a world-renowned parenting expert and who's also endorsed by Oprah Winfrey. And so we welcome you back to the Conscious Consultant Hour. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here and to be back with you and your wonderful audience.
Thank you
for having me.
Yes, I know last time we had you here earlier in the year, we had a little bit of technical difficulties and the recording wasn't so good. So decided to have you back and thought, you know, this is a good time of year to have you back, right? It's the back to school season. Kids are going back to school and that brings up a whole bunch of issues, doesn't it?
It does. But it's always a good time to be a conscious parent.
Absolutely. Absolutely. A couple of more people joined us. Welcome, Dana and Bravish on the Facebook live stream. Good to see you guys. As I mentioned just in your introduction, you kind of got into this conscious parenting because of your own needs with your own kids.
That's correct.
Most parents, their kids are a little anxious. They like just kind of react. What kind of, and we just got like a minute before we go to break, what kind of got you to say, like, there's got to be a better way? I can't just do what I've been doing for the last 10 years.
It's a great question. I knew that there was something that I didn't know. So I didn't know what I didn't know, and I was going to find out. I also knew that I was simply doing what was done to me, that there was a legacy of mindlessness, lots of love, but lots of mindlessness. Mm. And here I was recreating that in reactions, in blame and criticism, in a desire for an outcome and for control. And I simply decided that there must be another parenting paradigm, and I sought it. And I was fortunate over the years to make some shifts.
How long did it take you to find sort of this idea of conscious parenting?
You know, it was an evolution like everything in life. Yeah. It's truly an evolution. It took some time and I was fortunate to meet this wonderful mentor and then to find some of the right books to read. And I've actually done hundreds and hundreds of hours of training.
Wow.
And now working with other parents and I'm growing in it all the time.
Wonderful.
And it is my passion because when I see a shift in a family where a child goes from a state of anxiety to tranquility, nothing makes me happier.
Right. And then you know you're breaking that cycle, right?
Exactly. It's all about breaking
cycles. It's like that generational cycle that's been going on for years is now dissolved.
And I must tell you that your quotes were perfect.
They're always so apropos for my guests. Okay, we're going to go out for our first commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to start talking about what's the mindful, conscious way to deal with your children's anxiety going back to school and the things they have to deal with these days. And we're going to touch upon a whole bunch of topics today, so please stay tuned. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio. 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're speaking this hour with Ellen Gottlieb, founder of Enlightened Parenting, all about how to be more conscious in how we show up for our kids, right?
Right.
So you know, it's September has passed, which is back to school, but I'm still calling it back to school season, so to speak. What do you find with the parents that you're dealing with? Like, what are the big issues when kids first go back to school? You know, I always like to say, even though it's the Jewish New Year's around this time, to me, September always feels like the new year, just because as a kid, it was like summer was the break, and then, you know, your new school year started in September. So to me, I always feel like the years go from September to August.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So the kids are back to school. What kinds of issues are parents typically dealing with these days?
There are a number of issues. I would say anxiety in the children is probably the greatest one. Mm-hmm. And the anxiety in the parents as well. All about having to
And what are
school.
Kids anxious about
They're
these days?
They're anxious about the social aspect, the academic aspects. The younger ones are anxious about drop-off. The older children are anxious about peer pressure, socialization, academic pressures. It can really span the gamut of anxieties. Mm. And unfortunately, the parents are often modeling that anxiety. Instead of being the antidote, we tend to be the co-creator.
Right. And then the kids just look at the parents, and the parents are being anxious. So then the kids are just like, well, mommy and daddy are anxious. I really should be anxious then.
Exactly.
I see. So what's the antidote to that?
The antidote to that is for the parent to look inward. It is always for the parent to clean up his or her own emotional landscape.
Right.
To really recognize that this is yours to own, and it's yours to deconstruct.
Right. So what are parents anxious about when the kids are going back to school?
Well, parents tend to seek a lot of control.
Control
and fear, I think, are the two big issues that parents deal with. This need for it all to be perfect for their children during the school day. They should be happy. They should do well. They should be musically inclined. They'd like A's. They'd like popularity. And they should be artistic and all the rest. So we have
to be perfect children.
We have a lot of wants.
Yeah.
We have our own desires because they need to feed our egos.
Right.
So we get very caught up, and then we want them, of course, to be happy.
Right. On top of all of that.
On top of all of it, they have to enjoy it all.
Right.
And so I really always feel it's about the parent raising him or herself first.
Right.
And that is the pathway to consciousness and to children who really know about fun and joy, as you talked about early on.
Having fun in the process. Absolutely. So what can a parent do to recognize that it's their own stuff? Because, you know, normally we're going through our day to day and like we're busy and we got to rush to work and get the kids to school and we're doing all this stuff. You know, we don't often like stop and self-reflect and say, oh my God, this is my anxiety. So what do you recommend to parents to get them to kind of like flip that switch and recognize that, you know, hey, there's something going on inside of them. It's not just their kids.
Well, you've got it. You're talking about waking up. And the best way to wake up, and it only takes a moment, is to stop and take a pause. Literally take a breath.
Right.
And notice what energy are you, the parent, bringing to this child, whether it's getting ready for school and worrying about missing buses and missing a meeting at work, whether it's, you know, homework preparation at night. It's all about the parent recognizing what energy am I bringing? Am I comfortable? Am I joyful? Am I letting go of my expectations? Or am I approaching this with my needs being met, with this schedule being met, with that child must make the bus? So it's the first thing is the look inward.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's so funny how lots of times the parents like put their unfulfilled desires and expectations onto their kids. So, you know, maybe they didn't achieve something in their life. So they want their kids to be even better. So you have to do better. You have to get into a better college than I did. So you have to work harder than I did. And so they dump all these expectations on their kids. And the kid is like, I just want to go play Frisbee. What's going on here?
So then what happens to the child, and I see it a lot, and it's very sad, is that the child loses touch with his or her authentic self. What is the child like? You know, I have one child becoming a rabbi and one who loves American Sign Language and writing, you know, and neither of these were my particular abilities or greatest interests. So you need to stop and allow your children to experience their authentic selves by not interfering. And we always interfere and we over interfere. And that's where I really believe where we get so stuck.
Right. And then again, that just perpetuates that generational cycle because we were interfered with by our parents when we were kids. So
we've lost touch with what we want and who we are and what we want to do, what I call the authentic self. And people often say, what does it mean to be authentic?
Right.
And my definition of authenticity is to strip away all those conditioned patterns, anxiety, fear, anger, control, when we deconstruct them and we figure them out for ourselves and eventually let them go. That's who we are in the essence.
Right.
And our kids start off there, but we pile this on. And they lose that touch, that touch with themselves.
Right. Yeah, so it's just learning that, you know, they're their own individuals, right? They're their own people. And it's like in the quote before, it's about sort of trusting them, right? It's trusting them to know what their interests, what their joys are, what their you know, desires, hopes, and dreams are, and not put our own unfulfilled dreams on them.
Correct. So it's a deep letting go, and it is not easy to let go in this way because we do have such an egoic attachment. So I sometimes tell parents, when you're encountering your child, pretend it's your neighbor's child. It's so much easier because we're not attached.
Right, then you're not emotionally attached, absolutely.
So encounter your child the way you would your neighbor in terms of telling your neighbor how to behave when your child comes home with a C.
Yeah.
And you'll have a much easier time.
Yeah. My friend Toss on the Facebook live stream says, yeah, this is where it all begins.
It is where it all begins,
right?
And it's the middle,
absolutely.
And it's the end. It's everything.
Yes. So especially now, I've seen that like kids, the social aspect of going back to school can be particularly trying for kids, and like, you know, they're trying to fit in, yet it seems like there's still a lot of bullying going on. There's still a lot of sort of personal attacks that go on if you're a little bit different. How can a parent sort of more consciously help their kid? Like, let's say your kid is a little different. Maybe they're a little bit of a nebbish, a little bit of a nerd, or, you know, they're not as coordinated, so they're not as good at sports, or, you know, they just, you know, feel a little awkward around other kids. How can a parent support their kid to embrace who they are, but still deal with these other kids who are going to give them a hard time?
Okay, so there's a lot of... It's a lot to that question. There's, first of all, the concern about the labeling and comparing your child to another child or to the other children. Because if your child isn't as social, that is okay. And they must be taught that if there aren't a lot of friends, there aren't a lot of friends. And there's family, and that's okay.
Right.
So the first thing to always do, in my opinion, is to listen deeply. And watch your emotional charge. I don't think anything can charge us as much as a child not fitting in socially and not having friends, especially in the middle school years. We get deeply, deeply triggered.
Yeah.
Because we so want to conform and be accepted and want our children to be even popular, no less, you know, unpopular.
Right.
So the first thing is to check in with yourself and see how deeply it's triggering you as the parent. Honor that, sit with it, but don't put it on the child, and then listen deeply to the child's experiences at school. Now, I don't believe in a lot of interaction with the school, but there are certainly times when the parent needs to advocate. But that advocacy has to be done very carefully.
Right.
And it has to be done when you're sure there's a safety or a danger issue or a true emotional problem that needs to be addressed.
Right.
You know, that's causing an emotional problem, I should say. But
right.
That has to be, you need to attune to the child.
Right. And so there's a balance between sort of standing up for your kid when they're in a position where they literally can't stand up for themselves or they need the support of an adult to stand up for them versus giving your child the support they need to stand up for themselves when it's a situation where they just need to stand up for themselves a little bit more.
That's absolutely correct, because there can't be a victim without a perpetrator.
Right.
Nor can there be a perpetrator without a victim. So even in these terrible bullying situations, we are all co-creating them, whether it's between siblings or at school on the schoolyard.
Right.
The victim is seeing him or herself as the victim.
Right.
So if we can change that mindset, if we can make that quote victim, and I don't believe in that label, but I'm using it here to identify the person who's being picked on.
Right.
If that person can learn resilience and can learn that he or she is good enough and that what these kids do truly doesn't matter, and that they are strong and powerful, and give them skills and tools, whatever they may be, and there are a lot of skills and tools we can teach, they no longer have to co-create that situation, and you take away the power of the bully.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. Now, that doesn't mean that the child isn't going to experience pain. Doesn't mean that they're not going to experience discomfort. It just means that how they respond to it, you're kind of teaching them like how to respond to it from a more conscious point of view so that they don't suffer from it.
Correct. So we teach empowerment, but let me just say that we never expect our children not to suffer and feel pain. In fact, we should welcome that pain. And I know it's hard for parents to hear, but if we don't start teaching emotional tolerance of every emotion, not just the happy ones, you know, when parents say, I just want my child to be happy, I find that very disturbing. Let's teach our children that you're in pain, you're in pain. It's like a wave. It's in the ocean. It's temporary. It will come
and
it will go. Learn to tolerate it and find out how well they will be able to cope in the world.
Right, right. Oh, that's so beautiful, you know, because I hear it all the time. I just want my child to be happy. And it's like, what about all the other 9,900 emotions that we have? And I've never heard anyone say it quite that way. That's quite beautiful.
Thank you.
It's, let's teach the kids to embrace all of their emotions, not just the happy ones.
And in fact, where is the growth? Where is the learning?
Right.
It's in the muck.
Right.
It's not in the joy. It's not when they're off giggling. It's when they're deeply sad. Let's teach them that that's the beauty.
Right.
That's the place of growth and wisdom.
Right, right. And actually, the less they resist it and the less we resist it, the easier it is to get through, isn't it? And the smoother the ride is through it.
What you're saying, I believe, and it's what I agree with so much, is the only way out is in.
The only way out is in. Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Ta comments on the Facebook live stream. He says, being different is not a disorder.
Being different is beautiful. We're all different, but
absolutely.
The ones who are more different are the ones we need to honor more. And they have so much to offer in the world.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, beautiful. Wow. All right, time to take our second break. And again, if anyone would like to call in, if you have questions or comments yourself, you're always welcome to call in on our hotline, 877-480-4120. Or please comment the way Ty is. Ty is like blowing up our Facebook live stream field with all those wonderful comments. Thank you. Please also feel free to share us if you're on the Facebook live stream. Share the video so that your friends can see this interview as well. And when we come back, let's talk about maybe some current events topics and how we can support our kids when they hear about some crazy things happening on the TV. So everybody, please stay with us. You're listening to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
If you have an interest in marijuana, you want to know about marijuana, law, policy, and culture, then feel free to join me, Joseph A. Bondi, every Friday at 11 o'clock in the morning on my show, In the Know 420 on TalkingAlternative.com.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show, Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back to The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We're talking all about enlightened parenting with Ellen Gottlieb today. And we have a wonderful question from Bravish on the Facebook live stream. Bravish asks, what's the balance between structure and freeform? Outcome driven? Process? Quote, how to get that assignment done? One would love to just let them be. So I think he's kind of asking, like, what's the balance between, like, you know, sitting on top of your kids and getting them to get the homework assignment done or just letting them play?
The first thing to do is to attune to the child. Understand that some children need more free time after school to run. Some kids need to sit in front of a video game. But obviously, they can't sit and do video games all night and not do homework, because as much as we look to foster deep connection, there also have to be some boundaries.
Right.
I believe only in essential boundaries, not a ton of rules.
Okay. But what do you consider an essential boundary?
Essential boundary from safety to education to responsibility, empathy,
health,
gratitude,
I'm assuming.
Nutrition and health are essential boundaries.
Okay.
And sometimes we can make little moves within those boundaries. For example, with nutrition and Halloween, we've talked about, we're going to let some more candy in the house.
Yes, yes, yes.
And that's okay.
Right.
So we want to have some fun too. So homework is a big issue. It's a trigger. So the parents always need to first look at their triggers.
Right.
I never believe in being outcome driven. I'm always process driven. I don't care about the grade.
Okay.
I also believe if you're having a great deal of difficulty with the homework, allow the consequence to be that which the school imposes.
Uh-huh.
Rather than being on their backs, get on their sides.
Mm-hmm.
Create the conditions in your home where homework is to be done and can be done in a quiet, clean place.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a space. There should be time when the TV is off and the phones are turned off. And there should be a routine with homework time because it is an essential boundary.
Right.
Then if there are problems with it, we work on it. As your children get older, bring them in to the negotiating process on how to get it done. And then ultimately, let the world determine by the grade or the reprimand at school what's going to be. So get off their back and on their side,
I like to say. So let them know that there are consequences to their actions and that, you know, it's up to them to make the right choices. And if they make certain choices, there are going to be some not so good consequences. And if they make other choices, there are going to be some good consequences.
Exactly.
Do you believe in the rewarding, you know, them doing stuff like, well, if you do your homework on time without me having to give you a hard time, you'll get extra something this weekend or
I'm not big on rewards. I certainly don't like the money for grades at all. It's not a paradigm with which I agree. Yeah. But it's certainly fine to say if certain things get done as a family, we'll be able to do something this weekend. In other words, but bring the kids in. What do they want to do this weekend? Bring them into, you know, they may not want to go apple picking or they might, or their time with friends. So the thing we tend to do is take away control. And I think we need to cede control and give it to them and let them feel autonomous.
Right. So give them some power back.
Absolutely.
And say, you know, what do you want within reason? And then, okay, well, if that's what you want, like this is what needs to happen in order for that to happen.
Right. Correct.
Cool. All right. Very good. Hope you like that, Pravish. I see we're getting lots of hearts on the Facebook live stream on this one. All right. I do want to talk about like the holiday season and what's coming up. But before we get there, I do want to just touch upon sort of current events and what's been going on, because I think that affects the kids, too. And in particular, I'm talking about, you know, the shooting that happened in Vegas this week, where, I mean, I think we still don't know why this guy did it. And, you know, the kids, they're probably the first ones to hear about it through social media. As a conscious parent, what do you say to a child when they hear about some crazy tragedy like that? And some kids, they're pretty sensitive. They respond to that and they get really upset over it, don't they?
They do. Sometimes. Now, random events have always happened and will always happen.
Absolutely.
There is you and I spoke about the collective unconscious.
Yes.
Unconsciousness in this world.
Yes.
The first thing I remind parents in moments like this is to stop and take that pause and watch your own anxiety.
Right.
I have a parent who said they're panicked to send their children off to school.
And
you know what? Those children are feeling every bit of it. And despite the mother telling me, of course I don't tell them.
Right.
You need not tell them.
Right.
That child knows.
They're going to feel it.
So the first thing to do is put a lid on your own anxiety if you're feeling it.
Okay.
And sit and allow the child to experience whatever it is that he or she may be experiencing. And simply allow it. You're feeling afraid. I understand.
Right.
I get that you're feeling afraid. It is scary. It does seem random. It was random.
Yes.
It could happen anywhere. And then remind your child that while these things make the news, and they certainly do, remind your child that it's still 1 in 100 million or so, and I'm really making up the quote, but it's still a very, very infinitesimal possibility that you will find yourself in that type of situation.
Right.
And that the power we have is to go on with our lives. Mm-hmm. To feel safe, to feel free, and to find joy.
Yes. Yeah. So it's really just, you know, again, like I spoke about earlier with our quotes of the day, it's like finding the perspective and then, you know, first dealing with your own anxiety so that you're not bringing your out of balance emotions into the situation and then helping your child to do the same.
Correct. You can't even help your child when your own emotions are out of balance. You can't be the role model. And that's why I loved your quotes. You talked about being the role model.
Right.
So embodying what you want them to be without putting it on them.
Right.
Be the person you'd like to see them become as a person, not in terms of what they might do or like, you know, not in terms of activities, but just be the type, embody the values, and then have fun. We forget. After all of this, enjoy the moment. And you said it perfectly. You said, be present in the moment.
Right.
Because those moments are fun.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And so just be there for them and like be present with them and like, you know, deal with your own stuff first.
Separate yours from theirs.
Gotcha. Okay. So it's October. It's the kids' absolute favorite holiday at the end of this month. Lots of sugar and candy flying around. How do you have healthy boundaries around that? You know, all these other kids are eating all this candy. You know, and you know, if your kid has it, they're going to be bouncing off the walls for a while. You know, where do you, like, you want them to have fun, you know, you want to allow it, but at the same time, there still needs to be some balance in there, doesn't it?
There's always a balance, certainly, yes. Focus on the costumes, maybe focus on some good deeds at this time of collecting some non-perishables or things like that, in addition to collecting candy to give away. There are ways of teaching gratitude and things like, and help and humanity and humanitarian values. But also, it's a time where there's going to be more candy.
Yeah.
So have fun with it. So there's candy for dinner one night. No one's ever died from a little extra sugar. I mean, of course, if your child is a diabetic.
Right. That's a different story.
But for the most part, it's going to be a time of fun and candy. So yeah. I join them. Have some chocolate.
I just always remember the line from the Peanuts TV special when I forget who it was, when Charlie Brown, I think, was talking to Linus, and he's like, oh, it's Thanksgiving soon. And he's like, Thanksgiving? I still haven't finished my Halloween candy.
Right. And the funny thing is, you can sort of teach them, you can use the Halloween candy as yet another lesson to teach a little bit about waiting, about not having immediate gratification. Look at all this candy. How should we use it?
Right.
How many pieces a day would be enough?
Right.
What's enough?
Right. How long would you like it to last?
Exactly.
Would you like it to last a whole month, 2 weeks, 3 weeks?
How are you going to make that last?
Yeah. Would you like to
put it in your room in a shoebox? You decide how long it's going to last. But if you're done with it the first day and you have a tummy ache, that's okay. But don't give in tomorrow and refill the shoebox.
Right, right. Yeah, and so get them to learn. Like, yeah, if you indulge in all this candy, you may get a tummy ache, and that might not be so good for your body. But if you're not going to listen to me, okay, try it for yourself and see how you feel. And then, you know, they'll experience it for themselves. And if you do it without judgment, maybe they'll be a little bit more present to it to learn the lesson. Because sometimes it's like if we say, no, you can't have it, because if you eat it all, you'll get a tummy ache. Then they're going to want it that much more just to, because it is forbidden fruit, right?
Yes, it need not be. Food should never be used as forbidden fruit. Food is just food for nourishment.
Right.
And if they do eat it all in one day, it won't be there the next day. And when they're sad the next day, allow them to be sad. Oh, it's so sad you ate all your candy.
Yeah.
I know, it's so hard not to have candy today.
Yeah.
Allow that, but don't mess with that boundary.
Yeah.
Don't then not be able to handle the sadness and go fill them up with more chocolate.
Right.
Because that's where the boundary gets misplaced.
Right, and that's really sort of one of the key lessons. And we even talked about it before a little bit, but it's like, allow it to be okay for your child to be sad sometimes.
Don't just allow it, invite it.
Invite it, yeah. Encourage it and, like, you know, honor it. And that, you know, your kid doesn't have to be happy and smiling all the time. They also don't have to be frowning and sad all the time either. There should be that healthy range of emotions and allow it all.
I do not advocate deep depression, I promise you.
No, we definitely don't want that. Before we go to break, just quickly, I mentioned it before briefly, but bullying. Any particular advice for parents who have to deal with bullying, if their kids are getting bullied in school?
Well, you know, we talk about the parents of the child who is bullied, excuse me, but we often don't talk about the parents dealing with the bully.
Bully, yeah.
And I believe there's a very fine line between the bullied and the bully.
Yeah.
It's really one and the same.
Right.
It's a co-creation of a need to control versus a disempowerment. And I think we need to deal with both sides of that equation.
Right.
And the parents who feel their kids are bullies sometimes are proud that theirs are the strong ones, but maybe there are unmet emotional needs there that also need to be addressed.
Yeah, like maybe the parent was bullied as a kid, so they want their son to be strong or daughter to be strong and bully someone else so that they're not the quote unquote victim.
Correct.
Yeah, okay. Beautiful, beautiful. Welcome, Gregory and Amy, to the Facebook live stream. Again, you know, please feel free to type your comments, questions into the comment section of the Facebook live stream and share the video. When we come back, we'll kind of tie things up. Believe it or not, this is our last break of the hour. And we'll talk about maybe enlightened parents having to deal with unenlightened parents and see where that takes us. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be back right after these messages.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on TalkingAlternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to SecretsOfTheSire.com.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We've been speaking this hour with Ellen Gottlieb, founder of Enlightened Parenting, all about how to be an enlightened parent. So Ellen, you know, we've been talking a lot about the kids and how to really show up and be present better for our kids. What about when we have to deal, because nobody lives in a vacuum, you know, our kids interact with other kids. How do we as enlightened parents deal with the unenlightened parent whose kid is maybe causing a little bit of anxiety to our kid? How do we deal with the other parent?
It's really not our job as parents to try to teach other parents. I really believe that going to the child's parents and trying to make your case is not the best route. It's always, in my opinion, the most effective to deal with your own child. Ask your child how it felt when they saw that parent deal with you or with their own child in such an awful way. My daughter came home once so upset that a neighbor had yelled at his own child and called her lazy and stupid, and she was besides herself. So we simply had our discussion about how does that feel to observe that, and what does that mean to you? And sometimes parents really don't know how to be the best parents, even though they're trying. I never put another parent down.
Okay.
But it's always, the parents are always trying and doing what they think is best and right, and they often just simply don't know.
Mm-hmm.
So as children grow, they start to learn that we are just people, that we are not perfect, that we do not know everything, and that we are just trying to grow ourselves up and help them find their way. So sometimes an unenlightened parent of another child is a wonderful tool for growth.
Mm. So I'm curious, in that particular circumstance, after you said that to your daughter, how did anything come of that? Did she, you know, go to the other child and say something to her, or did she just sit with that sad feeling?
It's not her place to go to the other child, nor did she, nor did I.
Okay.
We simply watched and we observed.
Okay.
And we learned from it.
Okay.
And my hope was that maybe that child in my home would learn that there's a different way that we interact and that we speak, that we don't judge, we don't blame, we don't criticize, we surely don't label.
Right.
So they're all tools for growth. Now, there's one more difficult situation, which I've dealt with frequently, which is one very conscious parent in a home. Mm-hmm. And the other parent, the co-parent, being quite unconscious.
Ah.
Much more complicated.
Yeah. And actually, we got a comment on the Facebook live stream related to that. Ta asks, so what designated an enlightened parent? I've spoken to many a person who swears that they are enlightened, and I see them guiding their children into not very cool places. Mm.
Well, it's a self-designation. There's no certification.
Right.
It is ironic to me that we need licenses to do many things in the world, and we don't need one to do this most important sacred task of parenting.
Yes.
But we don't. And so people designate how conscious and well they believe they're doing in their parenting tasks, and that's for no one else to judge.
Right.
So, but it is difficult when, let's say, the dad doesn't believe in some of these paradigms and wants the kids punished, because I do not believe in discipline.
Okay.
Wants the kids in timeouts, wants them to have all kinds of very negative, outcome for a certain behavior, and the other parent doesn't. And it's all about learning.
So what do you advise let's assume like it's the one who doesn't is the one who's coming to you and they're asking for advice. What would you tell that parent who's dealing with their partner who's maybe not on the same path as they are on when it comes to this stuff?
Well, the unconscious parent isn't going to want to talk to me.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
So I'm always dealing with the conscious parent, and I tell her or him that one conscious parent is better than none.
Mm.
And sometimes as kids age, we have to start talking to them realistically without ever blaming, without ever putting the other parent down, that sometimes people behave differently and in ways that we don't like.
Mm-hmm.
And even your own parent may do things that we don't agree with.
Mm.
And everyone has to make their own choices. And we start to learn that life isn't perfect, even in our own homes.
Right.
And you know, we have to explain to them. It's not fair not to explain why the parents are, in fact, parenting so differently.
Right, right. Yeah, and like to just let them understand that parents aren't perfect, right?
Thank goodness, and
that, you know, I mean, especially as little kids, we have a tendency to think our parents are gods, and we're not. We're human beings, and we do things right, and we do things wrong, and you know, things get mixed up sometimes, don't they?
And we're all, I believe, we're all trying to do the best we can. Most of us have a very favorable, positive motive.
Right.
We just don't know. You know,
right.
And that's what I tell parents. When your child came home with a C grade, that may have been that child's best in that moment for a myriad of reasons.
Right.
So let's let it go. Let's look into why it happened.
Right.
But let's also not really attach to it. These grades just do not matter.
Right.
And I know that's a huge paradigm shift and people don't want to hear it.
Yes.
The name of the college, the grades, none of it. It's the internal sense of self that's going to catapult your child or not.
Right. I mean, you know, there's been study after study, like more self-made millionaires were like, you know, college dropouts or high school dropouts and never went to college. I know, and I personally know more people who are like doing things today that have absolutely nothing to do with what they studied in school. You know, they may have gotten a good college degree, they may have graduated summa cum laude, and they may be doing something completely different. So, you know, we have a tendency to think, right, that like, you know, we've got to go to college, we've got to get good grades, so we got to, you know, get out and then we'll have a great job, and like, that's what we're going to do for the rest of our life. And it's not the case anymore. Life is much more fluid, isn't it?
Much more. I tell my girls, and you know, they're in their 20s, that life is a great zigzag.
Yeah.
And here I am deciding in my mid-50s what I want to do when I grow up. And so if I may share a quote with you that I said earlier.
Yes, please do.
Instead of asking your children what they want to be when they grow up, be the role model and ask yourself, what do you want to do when you show up?
Yes. Oh, I love that. What do you want to do when you show up? Beautiful. So given the time of year, we're kind of like creeping into Halloween and heading towards Thanksgiving. It's time of year that we traditionally talk about being grateful. How do we present Thanksgiving to our kids? Especially now, there's like all this talk about, you know, Christopher Columbus being such a bad guy and the pilgrims and the Native Americans. You know, how do we deal with this whole topic of gratitude?
Gratitude to me is an essential boundary. It's something we want to teach our children. A parent who comes to me and says, my teenage kids have absolutely no gratitude, would make me question that parent. Have you given them everything without boundaries? Every time it was desired, did you run out and buy it? You know, every time there was the slightest of need, particularly the need to conform, like the new jacket or the new boots, did you run out and buy those things? Because the way to cultivate gratitude, counterintuitively, of course, as best parenting is to not immediately jump to meet every desire.
Right. No, you don't need to have instant gratification.
Exactly. And we also can teach gratitude through service of our own, get our children involved in service of others right now, whether, you know, to help victims of all of these natural disasters.
Right.
But not just to send love and prayers, which I believe the energy is so important, but yes, I think there absolutely. Are also concrete things we can do and teach.
Right.
And I think we also need to hold back on so much giving.
Right.
So, and show our own gratitude, of course, for all of our abundance.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's one of the things that I love, and I am the first to admit I haven't done it enough myself. When I just love hearing about when people say they, like, on Thanksgiving Day, they'll go work in a soup kitchen, you know, and that, you know, and being in service and helping those less, who have less to give them something, that I think that's a great lesson to also teach our children, isn't it?
It's an essential lesson.
You know, and that to show them, like, hey, we really do have a lot to be grateful for.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things why I love, you know, traveling the world, is when we see other places, I think it makes us appreciate what we have at home that much more.
And teach your children what's enough.
Yeah.
We have a beautiful home. We have a place to live. We have nourishment. Right. We can go to a supermarket and purchase that which we want and need.
Right.
That's abundance.
Yes, absolutely. So, Ellen, unfortunately, it's the end of our show. It's gone by so fast. Thank you so much for coming in studio. If people want to get in touch with you or learn more about Enlightened Parenting, where can they go?
I have a website through which I can be contacted, enlightenedparenting.co. That's .co for coach. Enlightened Parenting. .co. I'd love to hear from anyone, or Ellen@enlightenedparenting.co. And I thank you for this very special opportunity to speak with you. It's been my great pleasure.
Yes, it's been wonderful. And I do hope that if you've missed any part of the show today, that you will catch it on the website. The podcast will be posted later today. So thank you all who are listening through talkradio.nyc. Thank you, everybody on the Facebook live stream. So much love and so much interaction. I really appreciate it. Just as a reminder, we do this every week, 12 noon Eastern time on Thursdays to 1 p.m. You know, I try and get my guests in studio as much as I can. When I can, I get them on the phone, but I hope you will continue to join us. I forget who I have on for next week, but I'm sure it'll be an amazing show. Have I ever let you guys down? So please continue to join us, and absolutely stay tuned, because coming up next, Oscar Nordstrom with his show Off the Beaten Path, talking about as our engineer Rob likes to say, his show is as eclectic as a menu in a Greek diner. So I think you will enjoy him. He always has a different perspective on all kinds of things. Followed by Is It Plugged In with Adam Weinberg. He's also in studio today and he's got a brand new show. So thank you all for tuning in on the station, on the Facebook live stream, and we will talk to you next week.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo, woo!
What's that?
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Are you into comics, movies, and pop culture at large? What about music and TV? Then you're in for a treat. This is Michael Dolce, your host on talkingalternative.com. I've been professionally writing comic books, screenplays, and music articles for almost 15 years. Catch my show, Secrets of the Sire, at its new primetime slot, Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and get the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about. For more info, go to secretsofthesire.com.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Hi, this is Rob Kay.
And I'm Callie Alpert.
And we're hosts of The Rob and Callie Show. Are you looking for a show that talks about real stuff like life, love, the pursuit of being yourself?
Then you have come to the right place because we cover topics ranging from chivalry to gratitude to your relationship with money and everything in between.
So listen to us on The Rob and Callie Show Tuesdays, 8 to 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.myc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.